Here. Some more absurd nonsense about God. It says here, I'm reading from 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verses 9 to 11. It says, smoke went out from his nostrils, Allah's nostrils. You know, people learn to smoke and take out smoke from the nose. Where do you get the idea from? Yeah. Smoke came out from his nostrils. You see, you smoke. And devouring fire from his mouth like a dragon. Flamethrowers. You know, flamethrowers, they got the idea of flamethrowers, where they got it from, yeah? And devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. Verse 11. He rode upon a cherub. He rode, Allah bari ta'ala, he's riding on a cherub. And flew, God Almighty is flying on a cherub. You know what's a cherub? Do you know what is a cherub? No. You see, I went to St. Peter's in Rome. St. Peter's, brother has also been there, I'm sure. He has been speaking about St. Peter's in his book, so he must have gone to St. Peter's in Rome. It's a huge, huge church, St. Peter's in Rome, at the Vatican. Inside the Vatican, inside, you see, I don't know, the youngsters that were with me, you see, they made me to stand against a wall, and they took some shots. And the shot was of this cherubim. Cherubim is a plural of cherub. Cherubim meaning young, crisp angels. See, angels are beautiful women with wings. In Western artistry, design, drawings, you find beautiful women, well proportioned. This is 36, 24, 36. With wings are, you know, mature angels. A cherub is a young thing. You find this in the Collins Dictionary. They give you a definition. A childlike angel. Childish angel. Cherubim. So the picture is here. I know for all of you to see, I think once it is on video, you'll be able to see that close quarters in marble. This was in flesh colored marble. You can pass this on. You know, can you help? This is absolutely naked girls, absolutely in marble, flesh colored marble. In the Holy of Holies, they have wings. That's only the other naked, you can see the breast, the nipples, and the buttocks. And if you fondle the buttocks, millions of hands have gone over the buttocks. From the sheen on that marble, you can make out that everybody passes by wants to feel that marble. And there's a sheen, you know, this type of shine on the marble will give you an electric shock if you touch it. God Almighty, imagine, is riding these things, these young girls, young Christians. He didn't know about a helicopter, this God of ours. You know, he didn't know about a flying saucer. He's riding little girls. What are you doing? What a mockery you are making of God. This is what hurts the Muslim. You are making a mockery of God. You say, and God told you this? He's telling you, right, little girls, naked girls. Shame. It's a shame. And it portrays God Almighty as a barber. You know, barber, people can hear. It says here, Book of Isaiah says, the prince of the prophets. You say the fifth gospel. Isaiah, the fifth gospel. In the same day, the Lord will shave with a hired razor. The Lord means God will shave with a hired razor. Wahjam, Allah. Hired razor, Sunya sir. They didn't have safety razors then. Hired razor, the cutthroat, we call them cutthroats. With those from beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs. He will shave your head and the hair of your legs. It doesn't say how high. You tell that to a barber today, you know, to shave. He said, don't you know about IMAC or beat or what does it do? You know, in England, man, you see these adverts every day. God Almighty, He takes this and He's going to shave people's legs, hair on the legs. What are you trying to do to God, Yahi?
Copy.
I'm asking, what is there to copy?
What have you got that is worth copying?
There are, according to one of the mightiest evangelists, tele-evangelists in America, he writes a book on incest. You know incest? I won't belabor you. Incest. You see, when you go with somebody else's wife or daughter, have sex out of marriage, it is adultery or fornication. But when you go and sleep with your own mother, your own daughter, your own sister, your own daughter-in-law, that is incest. There are 10 cases of incest in this book of God. 10. The types and types of incest that you can commit. A textbook, if you want to know what were types. And as a result, in my country, the whites of South Africa, most of them are Christians. 8% of all whites in South Africa, they commit incest with their own daughters. And 13% of the Americans are committing incest with their own daughters. Our brother, I didn't catch his name, but he's a psychiatrist. He will be able to confirm. Dr. Vernon Jones, a psychologist of great repute. He carried out experiments on groups of school children to whom certain stories were being read. And he said that these stories made certain slight but permanent changes in character. The type of story that you read will create the type of mentality that you have. If you read junky stuff, your mind will become junky. You eat junky food, your body will become junky. Amazing. Out of the 10 cases of incest, Muhammad didn't copy a single one. And the Arab Christian has the audacity. Arab Christian. Ishaq Ibrahim. He wrote a book called Black Gold and Holy War. This is training the Americans how best to fix up, you know, tighten the screw on the Arabs. He's an Arab. His name is Ishaq Ibrahim. And in this book, he's giving ideas to the Americans and the Western nations how to tighten the screw on the Arab. But, by the way, he's describing in the book Allah by Allah, God Almighty. He's describing Allah. This Christian, Arab, is describing Allah because of the ideas he has got from his book. He says, I'm reading, page 70, the Muslim's view of God is that of an elderly cherubic Arab. You know, elderly but little baby like God, Allah. This was cherubic. Where did he got it from? He got it from the Holy Bible. You know, God Almighty, in this book, if it is the book of God, he seems to have a special predilection, preferential partiality for the Palestinians. Special place he has for the Palestinians in his book, this Bible. That the Palestinians can be used not for cannon fodder, but for foreskin fodder. Ever heard of it? I read it for you. 1 Samuel, book of Samuel, chapter 18, verse 27. It says here, therefore David arose and went, he and his men, Dawud alayhi salam, David, and killed 200 Palestinians. And David brought the foreskins. You know when you do khatna, circumcision, that skin which you throw away, very valuable. Don't throw it away. It might be used for currency. When you go back to Israel one day, when you conquer that country, it might be used for currency, same currency that David used. Listen. He killed 200 Philistines, and David brought the foreskins, and they gave them in full count. Full count, he counted out. 1, 2, 3, you know, like 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound. He counted out 200 cash foreskins to get a wife, a princess, you know, Saul's daughter, Michal. He paid out in foreskins of the Palestinians, was used for currency, cheap.
currency, 200. Chup, you can't.
Then they tell us incredulous fairy tales. The book. It says here, another Jewish young man by the name of Samson. You heard about Samson? Samson and Delilah. You know the story that Cecil DeMille made famous? Samson and Delilah, David and Bathsheba. You know the stories, the films. This fellow Samson, I'm reading now this from the book of Judges, chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. A donkey jawbone he found. Fresh. He reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 Palestinians with the jawbone of a donkey. This farmer, because you see, our brother happens to be a Palestinian, he ought to know that this is now programming taking place. Look, beautiful. One Jewish boy with the jawbone of a donkey, he kills 1,000 Palestinians. I want to know what the Palestinians were doing. You know what, 1,000? 1,000 people you kill with the jawbone of a donkey, and what they do? I said, look, if these 1,000 people, they spat on him, the guy would have suffocated. You can't even spit. You can't even run. Then you say, it's a miracle. Oh, the stick is a miracle and the jawbone of the donkey is a miracle. You know, we should go and tell the Israelis. They're wasting their time with those American cluster bombs. You know, in Beirut, they strive to eliminate the Palestinians for good, the final solution. The final solution with American cluster bombs, and they failed. I said, look, man, go and tell them, find the jawbone of the donkey. And find this magic stick. You'll do a cleaner job. And Samson, after killing the 1,000 Palestinians, he sings a song. So when the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Hooray! Say hooray! Counted them out. And God Almighty, some special liking, I said, I don't know what type of thing, loves them so much, the Palestinians. And Moses, I'm reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 31, verses 15, 17, and 18. And Moses said to them, have you kept all the women alive? All the women, you have kept them alive? Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones. Every male child among the little ones of the Palestinians, kill them. And kill every woman who has known man intimately. If any woman has ever had sex with a man, kill them also. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls, not the little ones. Little ones is a liability. You got to feed them and bring them up. No time for that. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls, the Palestinian young girls, who have not known a man intimately. This is the instruction given to Jewish soldiers in the field. Now when they see a young Palestinian girl, how can you verify whether this woman has experienced sex or not? How do you verify? The soldier in the field, he doesn't know about the saliva test. He doesn't know anything about it. The only way is to rape and ravish this Palestinian girl to verify whether a man has been through her or not. And if they discover that she has already been used second hand, chop off her head. If not, cheat them. And they saved for themselves 32,000 Palestinian girls whom no man had known. After raping and ravishing them, they saved for themselves 32,000 for themselves. And out of that, the Lord Almighty, God Almighty, must also have his pound of flesh. So it says, and 32 was for the Lord. I am asking, what does the Lord will do with, what does he do with 32 raped and ravished Palestinian girls? You tell me. In the book of God, God giving instructions that you go along and you verify. God talking this, filth and dirt, kill every little child, male and female, kill them all. Only young girls you must keep. And they too, one that known, they have not known man sexually. I didn't know. You see, I thought the King James Version, or in England they call it the Authorized Version, was the one of 1611. That it has been already through five major revisions.
And they still call it King James. That's an anomaly. You see, in the time of King James, 1611, this Bible was brought together. Then they found there's something not altogether right. So they made a major change. Major. You understand English? Major, minor. Minor is small, major is big. It's not fiddly little things. Major. You see, this is like your great, great, great grandfather. He made his last will and testament. And your great, great grandfather, he made a major change in that will. And your great grandfather made another major change in that will. And your grandfather made another major change in that will. And your father made another major change in that will. And you made another major change in that will. And you're still insisting that this is the original last will and testament of your great, great, great grandfather. Amazing use of language. Imagine the language that they're using. Five major changes, revisions, and they still say it is the King James Version. So in this major revision, they change the word, that offensive word, to gold, gold. Go and ask the Americans, what is a gold? When you go out, when you meet the Englishman, ask him, what is a gold? And believe me, he won't be able to explain to you, what is a gold? So, yes, I show you this. Sit down. Thank you very much, my dear brothers and sisters. You see, to make it easy for my brothers and sisters who never heard the word, original word, they never heard the word gold, that this guy Shankar, he used an ox gold. So I brought it for you. You see, this another word for this is the cattle prodder. They brought cattle to you. Ox gold, cattle prodder, spiked stick. This is a little nail here. Spiked stick for prodding. You know, with this stick, this Jewish lad, Shamgar, he killed 600 Palestinians with this. You know, you can't destroy 600 snowmen with this. You know that? This thing will break 600. It's a miracle, yes. This is the miracle. It's a miracle. We must accept that, you see, this is now is programming people. If one Jewish boy can kill 600 Palestinians, what were the Palestinians doing? Look, I said the fools, they couldn't run. They couldn't run for their life. What were they waiting? Where? And where did the fellow strike them with this to kill 600? 1, 2, 3, 4. We have with us a very learned brother here on the stage. He is a psychiatrist, a man who studies psychiatry. Here, I'm giving an example. Matthew, chapter 27, verses 52 and 53. It says, and the graves were opened. Grave. No cemetery, in the cemetery, graveyard. The graves were opened. After the alleged resurrection of Jesus, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep when were dead and buried were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many. People came out of the graves and they marched down the streets of Jerusalem. People in the coffins or napkins are all worn out, only skeletons. They came out of the graves and they walked the streets of Jerusalem. And what happened? Finished, that's all. Finished, full stop. Look, when people come out of the graves and walk the streets of Jerusalem, surely people saw. And that's news. That's become world news. You know that?
If people from the Greeks come out in Birmingham,
I tell you, it'll be world news. Walking the streets of Birmingham in the napkins.
It'll be news. But out of the 27 books of the New Testament, only Matthew recorded. Nobody else saw it. Nobody saw it. Nobody heard about it.
Look, once you come out of your grave, would you like to go back?
Huh? What happened to them? Where did they go? Were they transformed? Did they were taken up to heaven? What happened? Nothing, not one word.
Surely, if you came out of your grave after your death, you'd like to go and meet your wife again, no? Second time? Have a second inning? So, stories are half told, and the night falls before we can tell where victory lay. Where is there anything in the religious literature of man to compare with this? Agree, there isn't. Agree! But does that prove it's the word of God? No.
Then, this book of God, in inverted commas,
Book of Judges, is the name of the book, chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. It tells us that the same Samson, he's got magical powers.
He went and fought 300 foxes. You know fox? You know what's a fox?
Lomari.
You know to catch a chicken. To catch a chicken in the open. Catch one chicken, catch one sheep, catch one goat. You know what an ordeal it is?
You haven't tried. You catch them in bins. You have them ready, dressed. You know, dress how you call them. The undressed ones. And you go and bait them.
You try and catch one live chicken, live sheep, live goat. This Samson, Jewish young man, he caught 300 foxes.
Foxes.
In Palestine, where did he find them? 300 foxes to go and get 300 foxes. And he caught them and he tied them tail to tail. Two at a time. Two.
It doesn't say male or female. Two. He made 150 pairs. 150 pairs of male and female. He tied them up. And they cooperated. The foxes cooperated.
Can you imagine? Tame dogs, man, poodles. You know, poodles are little tiny dogs. You try to tie the tail to two and see what they do to you.
But Samson, you see, he had those magic powers.
He cut them and he tied them tail to tail and he put fire between the tails. Fire between the tails. And they cooperated. And he told them, go for the fields of the Palestinians. And they went.
And they destroyed the fields, the granaries of the Palestinians. I said, You believe that? He said, yes.
Now, the Quran gives us the test. How are we to know whether it is from God or not? It gives us a test. In Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 82, it says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not consider the Quran with care?
Don't you see?
وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Had it been from anyone other than Allah, لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافٌ كَثِيرًا.
You would have found in it many discrepancies, contradictions. This is the test which we have to apply to any book claiming to be God. See whether it is consistent with itself or there are full of contradictions. I will only give you one. And I'm reading from the New Testament. John chapter 18 verse 9. John 18:9. I'm quoting. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke. Of those, in inverted commas, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Close of inverted commas. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. None means not one, not a single one. Who says that? Jesus. How do you know? It's in inverted commas. Ask any Christian preacher and he will tell you these are the words of Jesus. And in the Bible that's given to me, Brother Shurosh, thank you very much.
This is called a red letter Bible. Red letter meaning every word that Jesus spoke is in red. So very easy to find out whether Jesus spoke these words or not. You open John chapter 18 verse 9 and it says it is in red. Which means these are the words of Jesus. In the Bible, the fifth major mission, words of Jesus. It means he lost none, not one. Out of the 12 that God gave him, he didn't lose a single one. But in John 17, just one chapter before, verse 12, same Jesus, he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, he's talking to God, you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. None of them is lost except the son of perdition, except one. Except one, Judas Iscariot. In chapter 18, he says, lost none. 17, he says, he lost one. What did he say? Did he say one or did he say none? Stupendous difference. Contradiction. One or none. They don't mean the same thing, do they? One and none. It's just at an end, becomes none, but it's a world of difference. Two. So the learned men of Christendom, very ingenious, very ingenious. In this book, the words that are in red, I have another Bible, another King James Version, the sixth major revision, another one here, also red letter, printed by the same Nelson Press, same printer. Red letter Bible, you open it, chapter 18, verse 9, it is in black. It's in black. What happened? Look, they changed it. Red to black. Yes. Because they saw that it's a contradiction. So to rectify the norm, but they're still in inverted commas. Who spoke the words? So I said, no, you see the difference is only one. I said, you know, in a court of law, if you testify like that, you say on one occasion one, another occasion you say none, you can be charged with perjury, bearing false witness, you know that? So now Jesus is in the box. Either Jesus, you put him in the box, ask him, did you say one or none? Or it was not Jesus. Jesus said, look, I knew nothing about that. Then you put John in the box. Hey, you wrote in chapter 17, one, and in chapter 18 you said none. How did you get that? But John is supposed to be inside by the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit. Who is God? So now God is in the box. We put him in the box. Excuse me, sir. Did you say in chapter 17, one, and in chapter 18 you said none? Did you? You know the difference in the meaning between one and none? Ask God. Look, we say this is not the word of God. Can't you see? This is not the word of God. We are telling you. But he says only difference is one. You see, time is running out pretty fast. The Quran gives us a quality control. He says the Quran is here to confirm what is right, what is true in the previous revelation, and wa muhaiminan alayhi, and it is a guarding in safety, a protection of the previous revelation. Now let's see what it does. You see, in the book of God, the Bible, in the book of Exodus, We are told that Moses wants to see God, and God tells him, no man can see me and live. But he's insistent. He said, look, oh Lord, I love you, I must see you. So I'll do you a favor. I'll put you between two rocks. And he puts his hand in the opening, God's hand, he puts it in the opening. Then he turns his back and he takes away his hand. So Moses saw the back of God. He saw his back. He says, because my face can't be seen. You mustn't see my face. But the same book tells us
that Jacob saw the face of God. Genesis chapter 32 verse 30, it says, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face." Then, in Exodus chapter 33 verse 11, the same book, where God says, "No man can see me and live." Now he says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, not showing his back." Now we want to know, which is the word of God? Did Moses see him, or he only saw his backside? What is it? Why would God show his face? The face, the human face, you know this. Forget for a moment, forget it now, whether this is the book of God or not. Forget it. Just on the human level, same sober level. God says in the Holy Quran, in the Bible we are told that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And was refreshed, meaning after a tired, hard 6 days' work, he needed rest and he had to be refreshed. The Quran says, وَلَكَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. We have created the heavens and the earth and everything in between in 6 days. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And we found no weariness, no tiredness, no fatigue in our creation. Now, take your choice. Either the God of the Bible, who needs rest after 6 days and has to be refreshed, or the one who says he feels no fatigue in guiding and creating his creation. Then the doctor had made very much in the last debate about God eating. He says, you know, we are denying him the right, the pleasure of eating. You know, the three angels that came to Abraham, and Abraham prepared the table, a fat calf and cakes, barley cakes, and he set them before them, and they ate, says the Bible. They ate. God Almighty, he ate fat calf, and the angels, they ate. Read it in the Quran, similar story about the angels visiting Abraham, and they say, the angels of the Lord, they don't eat. This food, you broil fish and honeycomb, is not the food of God, nor of the angels. Take your choice, the Quran or the Bible. God not omnipotent. This is the last one. But looking at them, Jesus said, Mark chapter 10 verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. We accept. With God all things are possible. But in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 19, I end with this. It says, so the Lord was with Judah. God Almighty was with Judah. And they drove out the inhabitants of the mountains. Judah and God, they drove out the inhabitants of the mountains, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland, because they had chariots of iron, they had tanks, armored cars, those of the day. So God Almighty, he couldn't prevail. The Quran says, فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He is the doer of all he intends. Take your choice, the Quran or the Bible.